This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
I tell you what, man, he's a literal titan across the entire media landscape.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. A man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stugatz, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate and review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. You have made us the biggest podcast in the world. We are presented by DraftKings. Gonna get right to it today. Two quick things. All right, it is U.S. Open week. It is my second favorite week on the sports calendar, right behind Masters week. And a letter, an oral letter to my friend, Kevin Durant, okay? So a little pitch in a putt, let's say, okay? A pitch to KD, and we putt around with Will Zalatoris, who has finished in the top 10. I think he was a runner-up at Augusta. Top 10 in his last three majors, and he'll certainly be a guy to keep an eye on as the U.S. Open unfolds over the weekend. But we start, before we get to Will, we start with a letter to Kevin Durant.
You are probably saying they should have released this right after Game 5. And you're right. But we didn't. Stupidity.
This is a little something I like to call an oral letter to a good friend. Dear Kevin, KD, you and I have had an interesting relationship over the years. We've never spoken directly, but I know you can hear me, and you know I can hear you. The closest we've come to having direct communication was our Twitter conversation through our mutual friend, Incarcerated Bob. I hope you now realize why it is I said the things that I said. Especially that thing about taking the easy path. I realize they are hard to take seriously, coming from someone who has ridden Lebatard's coattails to fame and fortune. But try to look past all of that. And trust me. Kevin, you are not supposed to do things that people like me do. You are better than that. You don't take shortcuts. I take shortcuts. You are way better than that. So please, I'm begging you, listen. After all, I'm your friend. You did it. I'm so proud of you. What you did Tuesday night was brilliant and breathtaking. It's also why you have no rings in my personal record book. And by the way, despite that majestic performance, you still don't. The things I said, they were not born out of any sort of malice or hatred. They were born out of respect and frustration. Respect. It's impossible to watch you play the game of basketball and not realize that what you are watching is one of the greatest players that has ever lived. Frustration. It's impossible to watch you play the game of basketball and imagine that you, someone of such supreme, superior talent would need anyone's help, and that you would be the one to seek it when they should have been seeking you. Yes, even in Oklahoma City. Because your talent is the kind of talent that creates legendary moments for otherwise average players. Your talent is the kind of talent that changes lives and careers. Your talent is the kind of talent that puts others in the Hall of Fame. Your talent is the kind of talent that wins people championships. Kevin, people flock to that kind of talent, regardless of where it lives. You broke all the rules of competition. Can't beat them? Join them. You were up 3-1 against what many consider the greatest team of all time. You lost. It happens. Yet, rather than come back and try again, you made the worst decision of your career. You joined a team you couldn't beat. You joined a team that had already won a title. You joined a team that didn't need you. We knew that. Heck, they knew that. It's why you never got their complete respect. And please don't tell me you have it. You don't. Trust me, Kevin. I'm your friend. Did it ever dawn on you that they came to get you because they knew they were eventually going to lose to you? After Game 5 Tuesday night, you realized I was right. You were celebrated in a way you've never been celebrated before. Why? Because you pulled that shit off playing alongside Jeff fucking Green. You didn't need help. Certainly not from Stephen Clay. Definitely not from Draymond, and clearly not from Kyrie. And now you realized you missed out on so many of those nights. And we in turn missed out on so many of those nights. Can't beat 'em, join 'em goes against everything we know about competing, about teamwork, about sports. Kevin, it goes against everything you know. I know that now because I saw the fire. I saw the competitor. I also know all of that goes away when Kyrie is back and James is 100%. It might be there for you, but it won't for many of us. I want to give you a ring back. I really do. But I can't. I can't because this happened by happenstance. A couple of happens. Cutting it up. How about that? One might say, you didn't ask for any of this. You wanted to be out there with Kyrie and James when all you needed was Jeff, Blake, and a side of Shamit. For a night, we all saw what could have been, what should have been, and that's a start. Now, go do it again. And do it on the road. Your friend, Stu Gatz.
P.S. Chris Middleton completely outplaying you is not what I meant about doing it in Game 7 and doing it on the road. We're going in the wrong direction. I care about you. Let's regroup. Let's gather ourselves. Let's start over. Now, don't do it in Game 7. And when you become a free agent, join the Knicks. Your friend, Stu Gatz.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at DraftKings. The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odd boost, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DAN. New customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. How about that? $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DAN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, U.S. Open from Torrey Pines is underway. As I said earlier, second favorite week on the sports calendar, right behind Augusta, right behind the Masters. Will Zalatoris burst onto the scene. He really has. A young kid, good kid, and he has finished in the top 10 in the last three majors. So we had a little time to sit down with our new friend, Will Zalatoris, before he teed off for the U.S. Open. What's up, Will?
Nothing. How's it going, guys?
How you doing, man? Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah,
our pleasure, man. I'm a huge golf fan. How would you explain the last year of your life, Will? I never heard of you until about 12 months ago.
Yeah, it has been very bizarre between COVID and thinking I'm going to have 2 years on the Korn Ferry Tour to then being on the PGA Tour. And now all of a sudden I'm sitting here, you know, getting ready for my third U.S. Open that I've ever played in. It, trust me, it's like, you know, probably the biggest weird one of them all is Adam Sandler texting me, congrats on the great play. I'm like, what world am I in?
So, what was that like for you? Like, describe. Listen, I know playing in the Masters and you finished second and finishing in the top 10s in three of the majors. Like, I know all that stuff's exciting, but I feel like the Sandler stuff's more exciting to you, you know?
it's weird, man. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I mean, because he texted me after I got engaged too. And so it's like, as I'm reading the text, you know, he's saying, you know, like, you know, congrats on the great play, young man, and congrats on the engagement. You got life all going for you. Or you've got it all going for you. And I'm reading it and I'm thinking of like him saying it like in his voice. And I was just, I don't know why, I just was sitting there and I'm like, what the hell is going on, man? Like,
all right. So prior to Adam Sandler, who was the most famous person to ever text you?
Probably Romo, but he's turned into such a buddy that I kind of think like, he's just such a regular guy. And he's got his own weird quirks where I'm just like, oh, you play golf with Tony Romo? I'm like, yeah, he's Tony. He's an acquired taste.
does he like call your shots before you hit them, just like he does during the broadcast?
That's an excellent question.
Yeah, well, I like getting in his dome and calling his, because I never turn out the way I, like, he wants it to. So,
but Will is with us here on behalf of Gillette. The U.S. Open's coming up later this week, and we will get to all that in just a second. Have you parlayed your new relationship with Adam Sandler? I'll get to Romo in a second. Have you parlayed this into a, you know, perhaps a spot in one of his movies? Anything, Will? Let's go.
No, nothing yet. If he ever decides to come out with Happy Gilmore 2, I'll go ahead and put the long hair back on, and I'll audition. I'm not asking for a part, but I'd love to audition.
I think you'll get the part, Will. Why'd you cut the hair, by the way? Why did you cut that hair?
Oh, I do it every year. I grow it out in the wintertime, and then Texas, I mean, it's already 98 here and humid. And so it's just, it's a lot to maintain. But on top of that too, when I got engaged, I asked my future mother-in-law, I was like, you know, do you think she's going to want the long hair or the short hair? And she's like, probably the short. I'm like, all right, well, if she doesn't like it, this is on you. So,
and did she like it?
Yeah, she did. She was really excited when I got the haircut. Okay.
That sounds like your mother-in-law made an executive decision.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It sounds like his wife made an executive decision. Or, you know, listen, Will, whatever she tells you to do moving forward, just do it, okay?
Like, oh, yeah. Okay, good. Oh, yeah.
How did this relationship with you and Tony Romo come about? How did you guys develop this relationship?
Yeah, so he joined Bentry Country Club in Dallas, which is the place that I grew up at, or grew up playing out of in Dallas. And we had a couple of mutual friends that we had never played before and just invited me to go play nine holes. And I think I birdied like three or four out of the nine holes that we played. I played pretty good. And eventually it turned into us playing, you know, kind of weekly. And then, you know, really during our 4-month layoff with COVID, it was him and another buddy, Mike Baldwin, and a combination of either Kevin Doherty or Davis Riley, who are both on the Corn Ferry Tour. And Martin Flores came into that too. But literally every single day for 4 months, it was that combination of three, of Mike, Tony, and me. And it really, by the time we came back, or, you know, to play the first Corn Ferry event after COVID, or during, I guess this was like June of last year, I was ready to go. I mean, I'd been grinding my tail off playing for cash against Tony. And, you know, it's, trust me, I know the guy's got a real sweet contract, but, you know, taking money out of my pocket is the best money that he's got. I mean, he loves it more than anything. So, but he's seriously been a big brother to me, and he's taught me a lot, you know, in terms of being a professional athlete. And, you know, he's even tested me on the golf swing. There's some questions that he's asked me that I feel like, I gotta be honest, man, I don't have the answer to it, and I've got to go find it, because this is my job.
How many strokes would you have to give Rumble for him to have a realistic chance? Like, how many shots?
If it was match play, probably three. It's normally three a side is what we do. If it was stroke play, I may try to eke him into three or four. He's not afraid to make like three or four birdies and shoot 74 or 75.
Wow.
Like, he's one of those guys where the good is really good. It's just, we got to get the bad a little bit better. And we saw that at the Corn Ferry event. So but he works at it. He works at it hard, man.
Are you going to the Lake Tahoe event?
I am not planning on it currently.
All right. Well, how about I invite you? Because I've been invited to play. I know Romo's playing in it. And I think you and I, if we can get into Romo's dome and you can give me a couple of lessons, me and you, we beat him. How about that? Let's do it. Well,
yeah. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Anytime I can try to get, you know, take some real estate in that head of his, I'm in. We might have some scary neighbors, but I'm in on buying some real estate in that head of his.
Okay. I mean, listen, but are you in on being my caddy? I mean, that's
all. Yeah, there you go.
That's all that matters.
So, Will, this is going to sound crazy to the audience, okay? It's going to sound crazy to Mikey A, but I know golf, and I know the pressure involved in golf. And so I'm going to ask you, more pressure, the Corn Ferry Tour or the PGA Tour?
Oh, man.
And the reason that sounds crazy to people is the Corn Ferry Tour is the way you get onto the PGA Tour, and you struggled a bit on that tour, but then once you got to the PGA Tour, you crushed it.
Yeah. It's different. You know, the Corn Ferry Tour, you're basically fighting for a career, or, you know, just to even have a career, or fighting to get to the PGA Tour. Right. I mean, it's the middle ground that's kind of, I wish I could describe it. It's just a different kind of pressure, because it's like every single week could be the difference of you being on the PGA Tour and possibly not having status on any PGA Tour sanctioned tour. You know, and then on the PGA Tour, like, obviously my goal is to make the FedEx Cup playoffs, and, you know, I have to go win one. You know, there's a lot of really cool goals that the fact I'm even able to give him a shot is fun. But, you know, Kevin Kisner always jokes that, you know, there's some courses that I just can't contend at. And, well, why do you play? Well, if they pay a lot of money for 20th. And, you know, and so it's like you have a safety net on the PGA Tour, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
And I don't play with it. I don't like not contending. I think it's awful. I think teeing off early on Sunday is like one of the worst tee times you could ever ask for. I mean, I can't stand it. But it's just different. I mean, on the Corn Ferry Tour last year, I had a birdie the last hole four times to make a cut, and I turned it into two top tens. And that could have been the difference of me making the PGA Tour or not. And so that's why there's so much, I think there's a little bit more pressure, but at the same time, you know, go win a PGA Tour event, that's something we've all wanted to do. And that's just completely different pressure than anything on the Corn Ferry Tour.
Right. But
so I think it's just different.
Right. On the Corn Ferry, though, I think you said it very well. What you're putting for is a job. What you're putting for is longevity. Yeah. What you're putting for is to realize your dreams and get to the PGA Tour. Once you get to the PGA Tour, what you're putting for is just to win tournaments that mean a whole lot to you, you know?
Yeah. So it's just different. I mean, one of them, both are life-changing in just different ways.
So explain golf, because I'm always trying to explain to people how crazy this game is. The guys on my show, none of them really play golf, but explain that, how a guy has a hard time just making it to the tour, but once he makes it there, finishes second at Augusta, two top 10 finishes, U.S. Open and the PGA. I mean, explain that. Well, do you have an explanation for that?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could give you the secret sauce.
It's golf.
But, you know, yeah, it is. I mean, it's 6-7 months ago, I was thinking I was going to have to spend another year on the Korn Ferry Tour. And, you know, now I'm on the PGA Tour and I was frustrated that I didn't win the Masters. And, you know, I've got a chance to be on a Ryder Cup team. So it's, trust me, it's not lost on me by any means, but it's a pretty cool spot to be in considering, you know, a year ago now I was basically, I think I had played like 4 Korn Ferry events and was coming out of COVID. And I went on a nice little run where I won 1 Korn Ferry event, had a bunch of top 10s. But it was just, it's just kind of funny. It's like, you know, you think back a year ago and that's where I was. And then a year before that, I didn't have status anywhere. So it's, that's a really cool spot to be in.
Yeah, it's a really crazy and cool story for you. I'm happy for you. You celebrated your one and only professional victory by doing blank.
We had a, because it was during COVID, like hardcore COVID times. So we had like a couple people that were, had been traveling, you know, like Davis Riley and, you know, a couple close friends and Tony, and we kept it super small just because of COVID, but we had a nice little celebration outside of at a Merido Golf Club where I play most of my golf nice. At. So it was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We celebrated appropriately.
Very nice to hear. I'm happy for, and you should celebrate appropriately. You deserve it. True or false, you were rooting for Phil to win the PGA once you realized you probably weren't going to win it.
I was, because I played a practice round with him on Monday. With Steve Stricker, Zach Johnson, yeah, Phil, me. And so playing a practice round with Phil and needless to say, getting our butt kicked by Phil on Monday and then him going and winning a major that following week was kind of like, all right, that was pretty cool. You know, it's like, you know, I'm mad I didn't win. I know I had a decent week, but I was like, maybe I helped a little bit for him. So he should thank me. Give him some false confidence.
I love that. I love your confidence. Do you have a holy shit moment? I'll get to Gillette in just a second here. Do you have like a holy shit moment where you're like, hey, a year ago I was struggling just to make it on the tour and now I'm playing today with blank. Have you had that, like one of those moments?
Actually, it is a Phil story that's a little bit different. In San Diego earlier, I guess it was in January, I hit my tee shot way out right on 15, and I was in the fairway bunker on 9, and Phil had gone off first off of 10. He was finishing up his round, and I had to hit a big old slinging hook around this tree, and Phil was kind of over by the tree, and he probably doesn't even remember this, but I was kind of laughing at myself that I was like, you know, probably 6 to 8 months ago, I would have asked Phil to move, but I was like, I think I'm good now. Like, I know I'm not going to hit him, but I hit an unbelievable shot to like 20 feet. It was a 6-iron from like 200 yards. I hooked it around the tree, but I just remember like looking up and on my sight line, Phil was like right there. So it was, it made me think about it a little bit.
What a cool moment, man. Will is with us here, Gillette 72 Club, with the U.S. Open coming up next week. Why was it important to work with Gillette now?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, U.S. Open, the toughest test in golf, you know, being prepared and staying fresh on a golf course, you know, with Gillette, their new 72-hour antiperspirant that they've come out with is awesome. You know, Gillette was one of the brands that when I first turned pro that I really wanted to align with, because it's something that, you know, I've used Gillette my entire life. And you know, I was super excited when I got the call that we were going to partner. And, you know, Max Homa and I are going to have a fun announcement. It'll be on my Instagram, which is at Will Zalatoris. We'll be, he and I are going to do an Instagram live and make a couple fun announcements. But the 72 Club, it'll be pretty fun. It's a cool deal. We got a lot of fun prizes coming.
Last question before I let you go, and good luck this week, man. DeChambeau or Koepka? DeChambeau or Koepka?
I'm going to go with currently neither, but if we're on the same team together come September, it's going to be both.
Brady or Rodgers then.
Yeah, yeah, Will, you got this shit down, man. You got the media game down. What a way to answer a question without answering a question. I mean, you are good at this. Hey, how does this course set up for you, U.S. Open course? How does it set up for your game, Will?
It's awesome. I love Torrey. I was the first place I ever played at as a professional golfer. Had a good run at it this year. Finished in the top 10. Got to hit it long, got to hit it straight. Got firm, fast greens, which is my cup of tea. So it'll be a beating just like every U.S. Open is. But I love tough golf courses. I've had a good track record so far.
Thanks to Gillette. Congratulations on your success. Good luck at the U.S. Open.
Thank you.
And I'll see you at Tahoe, okay? Me and you got a date.
Yeah, I right? love it.
Okay, me and you got a date. We're going to beat Romo together, okay? That's what we're going to do.
I love it.
All right.
Well, thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Will, thank you so much. Good luck, man.
All right, thanks to Will. And while that was going on, it's funny, it's crazy, I can't believe it. I received a direct message through Incarcerated Bob from Kevin Durant, and he told me to go fuck myself. Stupidity! I mean, seriously, the K in KD stands for crazy! Told me to go fuck myself! Stupidity! He didn't tell me to do that, by the way. I made it up. I'm crazy. Stupidity!
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yeah! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.